Senate Bill 221, make an appropriation for costs related to suppression of wildfires in the state and to declare an emergency. Welcome, Secretary Gabriel.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Larry Gabriel, Secretary of Agriculture. Our state forester is in Rapid attending fire meetings today, so I'm going to try to do the best I can to fill in for him. Just to give you a little brief rundown of what happened last summer, we had a total of 1,173 fires that the Department of Forestry and volunteers in this state reacted to. Of those, 336 were caused by lightning, burning a total of 192,000 acres. We had one caused by arson that we know of, and it burned 83,500 acres. I'm not going to go through the rest of those on this list, Mr. Chairman, unless somebody would like to see them. But the total acres burned were 404,000 acres by wildfire last summer, 83,500 in the one fire, the Jasper fire. Most of these fires you never read about in the papers because they were nipped in the bud and they never got to be newsworthy. But unfortunately, two, the Flagpole fire and the Jasper fire, were brought to all of our attention because they burned way too many acres. And we could sit here and we could say, well, it was because of this or that, and I'm not going to do that this morning. That's really water under the bridge. I think that what we have to set out here now is to try to make sure that we have the best system that we can to react to these fires and work in a unified fashion. And I believe what we're doing in the Department of Resource Conservation and Forestry, sorting that out and creating a new division will help in that regard. But as a result of these two fires last year, we spent a total of $5,614,847 on fire suppression. And as you know, this fire fund is one fund, one of only a few, that can go into a negative balance. Because the legislature's always said that we have to have the resources to go in and suppress a fire. I mean, we can't fight a fire until we run out of money and then just pull back and let the fire burn. So we have the ability to draw this into a negative balance, and then we have to replenish it. Now, of the total cost of $5,614,000, we are of the opinion and quite sure that we're going to get reimbursement from FEMA for $3.2 million. The Forest Service, we project them that they will reimburse us for a little over $600,000. And then this bill asks for an appropriation of $2 million. And if my math's right, Mr. Chairman, that will give us a balance somewhere around $600,000 in the fire suppression fund. Not a very large balance, but I think we need to have a little money in there going into another summer. We're all holding our breath, hoping that we don't have a repeat of last summer. But we're also realists. We know that the pine beetle is running through the Black Hills, and there's a lot of trees that the pine beetle leaves in a situation where they're definitely going to burn. And we know that we still have the snowtop trees from the blizzard last April. And we are trying to get in there and thin as much of that as we can. The Forest Service is in there right now using Department of Corrections crews, and they're doing a pretty good job. But it takes time. You just don't go in and take care of the results of a bad snowstorm like that and do it in a few months. We wouldn't nowhere have the resources to do that. So what we're asking for in this bill this morning is an appropriation of $2 million to get the fund back into the black to the tune of about $600,000. And I hope that you will look favorably upon that, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We have a responsibility to suppress fires in the Black Hills. And this is not, a effort to go back and get it up to a $2 or $3 million balance, because we know that's not realistic. Usually when we've had fires like this in the past, it takes us 1 or 2 years to get that fund back up where it needs to be. And we rarely, if ever, have it over $2 or $3 million in there, because it's just not, we'd rather draw it down and run it into a negative balance and then have to replenish it than to carry a $10 million bouncer. I mean, that's the last thing that we would ask you to do. With that, Mr. Chairman, if you have questions, I'll try to answer them.
Questions from the committee. Representative Lang.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you go into a negative balance, where does that money come from? Do you pay interest on it and so on?
Mr. Chairman, somebody from the budget office can probably answer this much better than I. I don't believe there's any interest charged. I think we just go to the cash flow fund and meet those obligations. I believe there's, if I recall, there's like three funds, or maybe there's more, but there's only a few, less than five that I'm aware of, that have the ability to go into a negative balance, this being one of them.
Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not directly related to the wildfire suppression question, but to address a question about the Forest Service. What efforts are being taken by the Forest Service for the infestation of the pine beetle to remedy that, besides the cleanup that's going on now?
Not as much as I would like, but they are working, some on it. It appears to most of us that when the Forest Service does something to benefit the people that live in the Black Hills, it takes a long, long time for them to effectuate a change in policy. I hope that changes. We're in the process of putting together some proposals where we as a state and the county governments should be a part of coming up with these plans on how we're going to manage the Black Hills. I was just informed a few days ago by a gentleman I got to know in Wyoming, who is the public lands coordinator for Governor Geringer in Wyoming. And he and I became friends last summer when we attended a few meetings, and we think along alike. But anyhow, Wyoming has demanded cooperative status under NEPA, and I can't even give you what that's the acronym for, but it's an environmental quality program set up by the federal government that says that when they do some of these things, they got to go through given procedures. One of those procedures that they spell out in there is if a state asks for a cooperating status, they have to be granted cooperating status. So Wyoming is doing that, and we're process right now of looking at that for South Dakota, because then we could sit down with the Forest Service and try to work out a management plan of the Black Hills that would be something that we could all support. One kind of aside to this is I've got a manual over in my office that's called the Forest Service Fire Management Manual. It used to be called the Fire Suppression Manual. Now, I think that name change is indicative of the perception that most of us have in the way the Forest Service reacts to fire now as compared to where they used to. They used to be a lot like the state, and they went in and tried to suppress fire, put it out, extinguish it. And now, in these last few years, they've gotten where they try to manage fire and, in effect, let it burn. I'm a little country fire chief, and we fight fire in the Cheyenne River Breaks on occasion. We know the best time to put out a major fire is at night. It's extremely dangerous. But we fight fire at night full bore, because then the humidity's down, the temperature's down, and the wind usually goes down. So we can fight the fire then on our terms, so to speak. The next day, about 9:30, in western South Dakota, the humidity starts going down, the temperature goes up, and the wind usually comes up. You know, I was appalled last summer when I found out that the Forest Service makes everybody quit a little after dark because it's too dangerous to fight fire. And I couldn't understand that, because it's dangerous to fight fire anytime. To me, it's way less dangerous to fight it at night when it's laid down, so to speak, than wait until it goes up the next day. But those are some of the things that we're working on, and we're trying to develop an understanding with the Forest Service, and they have an understanding of us. And then hopefully, once we understand each other, we can try to come up to some way that we can come to some agreement. And this is not unique to South Dakota. This is unique to the entire West.
Representative Richter.
Larry, these funds, some of these go back to reimburse those local fire departments, don't they? I mean, that's what this fund is used for, is to reimburse some of those local fire departments that come out and use their equipment, and if their equipment breaks or whatever, this money gets used for that.
Yes, Representative Richter, that's correct. These are not actual cost that the state has for the most part, although we do have some reimbursement here to the Department of Corrections for costs that they have. We have reimbursement to the National Guard for costs that they have, and we have costs to the single-engine aircraft tankers. Those are the larger spray planes that go in and help suppress these fires. And then the other significant cost, we used a lot of slurry bombers last summer out in the Jasper fire. Those are very expensive. And then, of course, the rest of the cost primarily goes to the volunteer fire departments, because they're paid from the time they leave their home until they get back. And some of them go out there and they're simply on call. And then others are in there, you know, fighting the fire. It depends upon their training and their red card status, how they can be used. And the incident commander makes those decisions. And when we have a fire like the Jasper fire and the Flagpole fire, the incident command is federal people. And we're going to try to get our people trained up to where we can be more of that command team, so that we can be helping to coordinate the use of personnel and resources.
Have we reimbursed all those local departments that fought the Jasper and Flagpole fire?
I believe we have, Representative Victor. It took us way too long to get some of them reimbursed, but this is a matter of a lot of the volunteer fire departments didn't actually know how they would be reimbursed based upon the qualifications of the personnel, and so it's very complicated, and we have to go through a list and check every person that was there over whether they were red carded, and if they were red carded to what category, because that determines the rate of reimbursement. And the reason that that's so important is because we're using federal monies in here as well as state monies, so we have to, whether we like it or not, play by a fair amount of federal rules.
And some of that money that would go back to those local departments is federal money.
Yes.
Depending on the status of their fire people.
Yes. In fact, on the Jasper fire, it got to where it was better for the state to actually look at a higher ratio of state expenditures versus federal, because then we qualified for FEMA reimbursement. So we became a little easier to negotiate with the Forest Service, because that let us kick in and get the better FEMA reimbursement. I am convinced that our people did the very best job, Representative Dietrich
Derby.
Derby, Mr. Chairman, to make sure that we had the proper cost here and the lowest cost for the state.
Representative Alstein.
So would there be any useful purpose in your drawing a resolution for the legislature to at least memorialize either our congressional delegation or the Forest Service or somebody to get them to look at these issues that I know we all share in terms of fire management or fire suppression or even the trees? Would they do any good at all, or is it just something in the wind?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to discourage you from writing a resolution, but I'm also somewhat of a realist. We were in court. One of the first things that I got involved in when I went to work as secretary was I was being sued by the federal government. Nobody explained that to me when I took the job, but there was this case going on, and it was versus Larry Gabriel. And so we went in, and you probably saw articles in the paper about secret negotiations. We went into a mediation phase trying to keep that from actually going clear to the court. And I was apprised of what was happening every time they had a session. And we had a gentleman, Greg Jostin, from the Forest Service, or from our division, Department of Ag, Division of Forestry, that was a part of those, and then Charlie McGuigan from the AG's office sat in on all those. And the issue was Beaver Park, right up by Sturgis, and trying to get the pine beetle trees out of, actually some of them within the city limits of Sturgis. And we were within about 2 hours of getting that resolved one day, because I'd given them a 5-day deadline. I said, if we don't have it get resolved by a certain day, we're just going to walk away. Well, I think about 2 days prior to the deadline, it looked like we was going to get it resolved. And then it became, somebody alleged to the Forest Service that there might be an Indian artifact in that one road going in there, an access road, and there was a typical hawk nest, not one of these rare hawks, but a typical hawk nest in a tree next to the other haul road. Those two cases precluded us from going in there and getting those trees out last summer while they were salvageable. So now they're taking them out with the cables and the big high-priced system, and the trees aren't really worth anything now. Relative to what they were last summer. I mean, they're still barely worth harvesting, but they would have had a lot more value if we'd got them out last summer. And it's very frustrating. Will a resolution help? Well, it won't hurt, but I'm a realist. It's not going to help that much either. We have to get a seat at the table, and we have to demand that they listen to us. We have to do it in concert with other states, and then we have to be willing to take them to court and sue them if they won't listen to us. We've been letting the other side, the environmentalists, take the Forest Service to court, and then they get to manipulate what's decided. I think we've got to get way more aggressive and not be afraid to sue them ourselves if they don't know what we want, within reason.
Representative Clout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Gabriel, just to come back to the Chairman Richter's point about the fire departments being paid, I think some of the problem that came, I haven't talked about lately, is they were promised one thing when they got down, they found their qualifications weren't as of such, and so the reimbursement, like I said, of federal dollars is quite a bit less. Do you see where this here new fire coordinator is going to be able to eliminate a lot of that confusion and know exactly what our rural fire departments have for qualifications? So they were promised one thing, and that's what they're sitting on. We were promised this X amount of dollars, and we went down there, we didn't get it. And I can understand your point that you can't reimburse because the one who's qualified is what the state apparently had figured they were.
Well, Representative Cloud, I would hope that this new organization is going to minimize that. But unfortunately, we're still going to have some of that. Most of the problems are not in the areas closer to the Black Hills, where there's a higher degree of working together and understanding of the system. So there's not problems with the Custer Fire Department, the Hill City Fire Departments, the ones down toward Hot Springs. There's a little problem with some of them getting their reimbursement taken care of in the extreme northern hills. But most of the problems were in the outlying areas where fire departments were asked to go in there and aren't used to doing this. And so, first of all, most of those personnel were not carded, or if they were carded, they were carded to a very low level. There's a physical test that you have to take, and there's a lot of firemen that just won't take it. You know, whether they might be able to pass it or not, they just say, well, I'm not going to go out here and strap a 40-pound pack on my back and go out here and try to walk 3 miles as fast as I can and run the risk of having a heart attack. I'm not going to do that. And so if they don't do that, they cannot be carded. Well, I don't appreciate all the red carding. I understand the logic, but the devil's always in the details, and I think some of these details go way too far. But again, it's a process of trying to sit down and work through it with some reason and try to come up with something better.
Any further questions for Secretary Gabriel? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other proponents for Senate Bill 221? Any other proponents? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Senate Bill 221. Opponents? Opponents. We're open for committee action.
Wayne and I, Representative Sutton and I thought we might amend it to outlaw the Sierra Club in South Dakota, but we were told that the problem would be.
Okay, are we open for any other committee action?
I would move to defer.
Motion by Representative Richter to defer, second by Representative Pummel. All in favor say aye. Those aye. Opposed say no.
Aye. We don't have, that's just a voice vote.
Okay. All right. Motion to defer passes.